Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Rita Colwell, Director of the National Science Foundation. And joining us in our conversation is Tom Berlin. Well, Rita, can you tell us about the NSF's strategic goals of people, ideas, and tools?
Well, the most important thing we do is starts with people. It extends well beyond the scope of our 1,300 or 1,400 employees because our programs impact almost 250,000 people, from senior researchers down to K-12 students. Now, people are fundamental. These are the graduate students, the faculty, the high school students. Altogether, we touch each year, as I say, nearly 250,000 people. Now, their ideas are critical because, after all, that is what comprises the grants that they submit. And then what is very important and has become increasingly so are the tools, the high-end computers, the telescopes for astronomers, the laser interferometer gravitational wave observatories for physicists and astrophysicists. These are critical to carrying out science in the 21st century. And we find that even the social behavioral scientists are now increasingly requiring very large-scale and, unfortunately, expensive tools because they are mining databases. In fact, the term computational sociologist is one that is increasingly common because sociologists analyze very large lots of data, and these large databases require computing, either personal computers or computers connected to very large high-end computers. And that means that we're focused on providing a cyber infrastructure, that is, connectivity for all scientists and engineers around the country to computing capacity. So we believe that people, their ideas, and the tools they need to carry out their ideas and their explorations comprise the holistic approach and the fundamental aspect of the National Science Foundation. We say this because it makes it very clear and very straightforward what NSF is all about.
Doctor, a new goal this year is for organizational excellence. Can you tell us what steps you've taken to address this goal?
We've done quite a lot. When I first came to NSF, we set our ambitions to doubling the budget, and therefore to have a management capability that would handle a large budget and to be the most efficient and the most effective agency in the entire federal government. We established that as one of our goals, along with enhancing people, ideas, and tools, that is, good management. We brought in video teleconferencing capability so that we could reach any part of the country and interact with individuals. That proved extremely important post 9/11 because we were able to continue with our panels. We also established NSF as an electronic agency, and now 99.99% of our proposals come in electronically. They're reviewed electronically. They're processed with panels using computer e-business rooms, and the reports are prepared by the time the panel finishes, and the awards are made electronically, and the monitoring of the awards reports and financial reports are electronic. Now, as a result of our emphasis on good business practices, we've established, for example, an external review committee for our business practices. No other agency, I believe, has done that. And we've brought in experts from industry, from other government agencies, previous employees from the OMB, good advisors from outside. And these folks meet several times a year and advise us on our business practices. The consequence is a very good one. We are the only agency to receive a green light in the federal government, both in financial management and in e-business.
Let me ask you about setting priorities for NSF. You have a finite amount of money, and it sounds like many more requests than you can support. How do you determine priorities and balance that with new areas?
We establish priorities because of several reasons. One is that there is a limited amount of money, as you said. $5.3 billion sounds like a lot, but when you've got thousands of scientists out there from 2,000 universities and other research institutions, they can, as they do, submit many times more dollar requests than we can afford to provide. We also ensure in the reviewing of the grants that we seek out the very best of the science and engineering and the cutting edge. How do we achieve what is cutting edge, or determine what is cutting edge? Partly this is by proposal pressure, because if you begin to see a lot of proposals coming in, let's say, information technology, you have a notion that things are happening. Secondly, we have advisory committees for each one of our directorates. We have 7 directorates and 2 offices. Each of these has an advisory committee. They also have committee of visitors who come in after the awards have been made to see how well we have actually fulfilled our strategic plan and our directions. And we have workshops. We bring in the best and brightest young people, seasoned veterans, to advise on the direction science is going. And with all of this input, we were able to establish quite early that information technology was fundamental to all of science and very, very important for us to fund. Nanotechnology was an area that was beginning to really explode, and we needed to invest in nanotech. Mathematics is fundamental to all of the sciences and engineering, and we needed to establish primacy, leadership in mathematics, so that became an area of importance. Biocomplexity, understanding the complexity of the environment, understanding how it works as a system. We've been spending a lot of time drilling down to the atomic structure, and we had a lot of information at the atomic, molecular, organismic, community, and system level, and we needed to bring all that information together in the direction of biocomplexity. And then workforce for the 21st century. If we don't focus on K-12 education, science and math education, we aren't going to have the scientists and engineers we need for the 21st century. And more recently, we have begun focusing on the human and social dimension. How does society respond to change? How can we interact with computers? What is the future for social, behavioral, and economic dimensions of science? So these became our priorities through this very complicated process of evaluation and ensuring that we're right there at the cutting edge.
Well, Rita, I think I've shared with you many, many years ago as a lowly undergraduate biology student, I was a recipient of a National Science Foundation grant. However, HP scientific calculator was high-tech back then, and I'm sure things have changed. Could you give us an overview of the different directorates within the Science Foundation and also the process for applying for grants? Who's eligible? What's a typical grant?
The directorates include the biological sciences, the geosciences, mathematical and physical sciences, which means math, chemistry, material science, physics, social and behavioral and economic sciences, engineering, which is very important, and education and human resources, that is all the programs for K-12, graduate fellowships, IGERT fellowships, and so forth. And we also have an Office of Polar Programs. We run the research programs in the Antarctic and also in the Arctic. This is quite exciting because it means as director I get to go to the South Pole and to the North Pole. And I must tell you, that's very, very exciting. We also have an Office of Integrative Activities where we have major programs like the Science and Technology Centers, infrastructure support programs, that means instrumentation and that sort of thing, are coordinated through the Office of Integrative Activities. Now, for grants, we have a grant proposal guide. It's online, so you can go on online for it. It's very straightforward. It describes how you submit proposals, and we have periodic solicitations where we send out notices and ask for proposals for most of the programs. Now, people can apply for grants individually, scientists and engineers at universities or research institutes. But if it's not under a specific program solicitation where we're asking for proposals, it's better if the individual, if you, as an individual scientist, call the program manager, find out just where your ideas for a proposal would fit. And that advice would be, I think, very efficient way for you to go about submitting a proposal.
How does one get to green on the President's Management Scorecard? We'll ask Dr. Rita Colwell of NSF to tell us about this achievement when the Business of Government Hour continues.